Anybody a little too cool? Maybe a little too warm? You know, Mark did a great job, didn't he? You did a great job up here, Mark. Thank you. And, sure wish he had had some people to back him up with accompaniment, though. That would have been nice, huh, Mark? That sure would have been nice. Yeah, I came in today and they gave me my microphone and they came up and said that they even gave me a charged battery that was dead. The sound guys do a great job. Can you believe there was a dead battery in here? Can you believe that? And choir did a wonderful job, you know. For the people that are here for this weekend, you did a great job. It was really good. A nice volume. Just could have used a few more. Yeah. Could have used a few more, though. Sermon today is about attitude. You getting it? I know you're hearing things from me you don't expect to hear from me because that's not usually my attitude. In life, your attitude makes a huge difference. When you wake up in the morning, attitude makes a huge difference. With your spouse, attitude makes a huge difference. With your children, attitude makes a huge difference. At your job, attitude makes a huge difference. In life, attitude makes a huge difference. Preacher T.D. Jakes says, "I believe it is our attitude that determines our altitude. It is our attitude that allows us to soar above those things that would otherwise overcome us." In life, attitude makes a big, huge difference. Even in the church. In the church, attitude determines if we will be gripers or encouragers, part of the problems are part of the solutions. And an attitude begins with a choice, with a decision by each one of us. A decision is a choice that you make about something after thinking about it. It's a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. It is firmness of character or action once you've determined how you're going to have your attitude. An attitude begins with a choice, a decision about what your attitude's going to be. Whether it's regarding your morning or your spouse or your children or your job or the church. Attitude begins with a choice, a decision about your attitude. Scripture is filled with verses about decisions, about attitudes. In Romans 12:2, it challenges us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Do you hear the choice in there? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 16 adds, "Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them. And they're unable to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The more we check our attitude, the more we submit it and humble it before the Holy Spirit of God, we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 4:8 adds, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Do you hear the control? Do you hear the attitude? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 adds, "But test everything." Hear the choice? Hold fast to what is good. And Pastor Paula last week touched a little bit in Philippians 2:1-11. You heard it just read. And it's very beautiful the way it talks about it. It says, now listen to what he's saying here. Think of the richness of this passage. "If then there is any encouragement in Christ." Have you ever been encouraged by Christ? Okay. If you have had that, any consolation from love, has God's love or love of somebody else ever consoled you? Yes. Any sharing in the Spirit? Do you feel that connection in the Holy Spirit with other Christians? Any compassion and sympathy? In other words, if you have received this and you've been ministered to by this, make my joy complete, Paul says. Be of one mind. You hear the decision there? If you've had experienced that and you've enjoyed that and you've been blessed by that, make my joy complete. Make my day, Paul is saying. First, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, those are important, yes, don't look only to those, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now look what God did. Jesus is God. And listen, this is one of the most beautiful examples of when God calls us to submit and humble ourselves before Him and our minds and control our minds and our thoughts and our attitudes before Him. Look what God Himself did. He says there in 6, who though He was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself. Okay, God did this for us. Taking the form of a slave. Wow. Being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The electric chair of its day. Humiliating death. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Wow. That God did that for us. That He lovingly and willingly humbled Himself to that level for us. So whether it's in regards to our mourning or our spouse, our children, our job, or our church, attitude begins with a decision, a choice of attitude on our parts. And that choice is a conscious and committed decision to move from, I am this way. I am choosing to stay here in this way. I'm refusing to move from this way. It is my way or no way. That is the world of I am. I'm not talking about the biblical I am of God saying I am who I am. It's talking about we say that we are selfish about that. I am this way. Everything must do it my way. Like, we'll all get along fine as long as you realize it's all about me. Those are the words of a person who is choosing to remain stuck in I am. And not open to God's challenging call to have more in your life and your church by moving from I am to opening your heart to God's greater plan that is found in, Lord, I will. In every aspect of our lives, we choose daily whether to respond with an attitude of I am or, okay, Lord, I will. And our choosing of that attitude will reap the results of what we choose. It's our decision every morning, every time with our spouse, our children, our job, or our church, the attitude that we adopt, we have to answer for. And it is an effort. You see those passages in there. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit is within us to help us. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that struggle with this as well, but it's something we need to get our mindset on. If I am of Christ, I'm in Christ, I have the Holy Spirit of Christ in me by reading His Word, by being under His Word, and having His Spirit within me, I need to continue to humble myself and say, Lord, it's not about me. It's about going. I want to take from I am to I will. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of Christ, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Did you see that last part? Every thought captive. You see, this is an action. Captive. To obey Christ. Lord, I want to go from I am to I will. Help me to capture those thoughts and to obey You. When you wake up in the morning, take every thought captive to obey Christ. With your spouse, take every thought captive to obey Christ. With your children, take every thought captive to obey Christ. At your job, take every thought captive to obey Christ. In the church, take every thought captive to obey Christ. I taught a marriage class one time, and we were talking about the love languages, and we were going through those different areas in the study. And the one fellow turned to his wife. He said, "You know something?" He said, "Sometimes you say things, they come out of your mouth so quickly and so critically, it just cuts through me. I just need to say that." He said that in front of the whole group. She said, well, honey, I'm really sorry. I should work on that. I'm going to try to change that." He said, "Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you." And everybody's just real quiet. And later on during the meeting, he said something, and she said, "Oh, yeah, well." And everybody looked at her, and she did this. And then she did this, because she knew it was going to still try to come out. He looked at her, he said, "Thank you." She was taking those thoughts captive. She was buffering that quick exchange of the "I am this way" to "I will strive to be this way." This is wonderful advice for our everyday lives about when we get up and with our families and with our friends and with our jobs, about that attitude of I'm going to go from "okay, I'm going to be this way, you just deal with it" to "no, Lord, I will be open. I will take those thoughts captive. I will watch my heart. I will watch my mind. I will watch my life to glorify you, Lord. And I want to do that in every part of my life. I want to be better for them as well as for you, Lord." And it's really neat when that kind of a heart that wants to take those things captive, that wants to go from "I am this way" to "I will be open to you, Lord," when it's in the body of Christ. It's really wonderful. Having the right attitude in and around and about church is crucial to the life and health of any church. When you have a bad attitude, you feel unsettled and negative and critical, but when you have a good attitude, you're positive and joyful and affirming. And you could say, "Well, I don't like this thing or that thing or this thing in this church." You go to another church, guess what? You're going to not like this thing or that thing or the other thing in that church. I remember a pastor friend of mine. He had been in a church for about 7 years, and he said, "I've taken a call to another church." He says, "It's twice as big." He said, "I think I'm going to really enjoy this church." He said, "And I get to leave behind this lady and this man and this person." And he listed about 5 people. I saw him about 2 months after I was at the new church. I said, "So how's your new church?" He said, "Well, you know how I said it's twice the size of the other one?" He said, "Now I have 2 of that lady, 2 of that guy. It's everywhere." There's a little reading called The Perfect Church. I really like this. It says this way: "If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'll spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church where all anxieties cease, then pass it by, lest join it. You'll mar the masterpiece. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you even dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'll be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists, made of imperfect people, then let's cease looking for that church and love the church we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church. That's simple to discern. But you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. What fools we are to flee our post in that unfruitful search, to find at last where problems loom, God proudly builds his church. So let's keep working in our church until the resurrection, and then we each will join that church without an imperfection." Amen. No church is perfect. If you want to have a reality check on that, think about this. If there's some things you'd like to see different in this church, and I know things are going wonderful as a church, but I'm sure there are some things that you'd say, "I'd like to see things done different. I'd like them to run, you know, the staff different. I'd like them to run the worship service different. I'd like them to run this, that, or the other thing different." Guess what? If we did it exactly the way that you said it would happen, there would be about 50 or 100 people that didn't like that. How dare they? See, it's not about you or me. It's about us. It's the body of Christ. And to think otherwise is to choose to stay stuck in "I am" and not open to "Lord, I will." In every church, there will be challenges and quirks. In every church, not everything to be the way that you and I want to prefer. Sometimes our ways, we say, are correct, and sometimes they're not. In every church, there will be people that are so enjoyable and some people that are not as enjoyable. Even irritants. Yes, I said irritants. Every one of us have many wonderful traits and gifts and graces that are so enjoyable. However, every one of us also have quirks and shortcomings and personality areas that need work on. And no church is perfect, no pastor is perfect, no staff is perfect, and no ministry is perfect. Our choice is whether we respond with a negative attitude of dwelling on another's shortcomings through snide comments or avoiding them. You know, if you get there, I've seen churches literally tear each other apart. And sadly, in my many years of ministry, I have had the sad experience of trying to pastor some such negative persons like this. But now and then, there are people that have a teachable spirit, which I find most of the time. At our last church, there was a gal that, wonderful, she's a pastor's daughter, wonderful, glowing, cheerful, encouraging prayer warrior. This woman had so many cylinders firing. She was just wonderful. Her husband was just like her, and he was just outgoing and funny. He's the one that went like this. I told him in the sermon one time, I said to the congregation, I said, you do realize when you're pointing a finger at somebody like this, you got four fingers pointing back. Have you ever heard that? After church, he said, well, Pastor, that's why I point like this. Great, great people. He always came up with stuff, and it was just fun to be with them in a room. But she had a tendency to gossip. She started to get a reputation through the church. If you tell her, it'll go everywhere. She had so many gifts and graces, yet she had that one area of her life. And, of course, she did it with on the telephone saying, I don't know if you heard about so-and-so. We need to pray for them because blah, 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 blah. And it came out. So I, as her pastor and her dear Christian brother, had to pull her aside and say, well, I love you. You are wonderful. You have so many gifts and graces. But there's one area I want to caution you in because it's starting to get you a bad reputation. And we sat and we talked about it. We prayed about it. And she was mature enough to say, Pastor, thank you. I guess in my heart of trying to ask people to pray for people, I guess I have been gossiping. I will do my best to work on that. She did. Never another problem with it. Sure, she had other quirks. Sure, a lot of churches would have said, you know, she's a gossip. Let's get her out of here. Now, what if the church said that about all of us with our quirks? None of us are perfect. We all have, but you know what? Every one of you and I, we all have really great, wonderful gifts and graces and abilities and things to serve the body with. And yeah, we got some edges that some of them we have to accept each other on, love each other through, maybe challenge each other every now and then, but we are the body of Christ. Tell me, what person in your whole human family is perfect? Now, I know some may think they're perfect, but how many really are perfect? None. And it's the same thing in the church. Yes, there are people we struggle with, there are things we struggle with, but that's what it means to be a family. And it depends on what we do with that individually. Do we see that maybe we're causing that kind of a problem in the church? Do we go to someone and we try to work with them so that they continue to grow and do things as a church? Do we want to move and just be critical and be part of the problem by saying, you know what, it's I am and not I will? Or if somebody comes to us or we see something in our lives, will we continue to say, I'm going to stay this way? That's just the way God made me. No, he didn't want you to stay there. When it's not glorifying him in our lives. What a lot of folks don't realize is the key to a more positive church and life, for that matter, is to choose to develop an attitude to love others, to celebrate their strengths, accept their weaknesses, and we want them to do that for us as well. But this is not possible until every Christian realizes that God also has opened his loving heart to each one of us who falls short as well. In Romans 5:8 it says, that God proves his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, see, still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's kind of a love in reaching out to us. We are in the I am a sinner. He wants to say, and I will come to Christ and walk away from those sins. Out of our overflowing gratitude for what God has done for each and every one of us, we respond with hearts and minds desiring to choose a helpful and positive attitude toward God and his church and to those of his church. And such positive persons choose to have their attitude be positive rather than negative. Instead of asking what you get out of church, ask God, what can I do to help? Instead of saying, I want, consider saying, I will. Make a choice, a decision about your attitude in all the areas of your life. Let me give you four examples of choosing a right attitude in the church. One, I choose or decide to move from I am to I will as a unifying church member. The health of any group is its unity. It's true in sports, in businesses, in families. It's true for churches. And the truth is, unity only happens when individuals have chosen to have the right attitude of unity. A choosing to have an attitude of unity, a choosing to strive for a maturity, to instead of responding to situations, instead of espousing my own needs or preferences, to instead step back and think about the issues and how unity can be achieved. In Ephesians 4, 1-3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, Paul is begging, to lead a life worthy of the calling of which you have been called, worthy of the calling you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Wow. Now that is something we need to do every day. Paul's begging us, lead a life worthy of the calling which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, with one another, bearing with one another in love. Hear that? Bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In John 17, 20-23, Jesus prays about our unity. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. He's praying for them as well as the future. They may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, how we react, how we choose to go from I am to I will, the world sees that. The glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be completely one so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When the world sees us together in unity, which we have, the world is blessed. They're drawn to that. And when we choose that unity, we choose to say, not I am, but I will. I will be doing whatever I can, Lord, to foster that unity. It just brings such beauty and glory among it and among the church. But remember that just maybe a few around you who are struggling with the same challenge as to how they will have to be humble and gentle and patient and kind and loving and unifying with you and with me. It's an old saying, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. This is our heavenly, eternal family, friends. We need to learn to continue to get along. And through my years of ministry, I have been in church situations where humility was not displayed. And where it was. I've been in church situations where gentleness was not displayed. And when it was. I've been in church situations where patience with each other was not displayed and where it was. I've been in church situations where bearing with one another in love was not displayed and where it was. And it should be obvious. The church where those wonderful instead of I am, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to be critical, to I will, Lord, be open to loving and caring and gentleness and humility and patience and love, that church is a lot more wonderful to be in than the one of a bunch of I ams, but the ones of I wills. And as it said, if any people outside the church walk into a church, which thankfully this was is not, that is all one where those things are not displayed, they're disillusioned with the church and they want nothing to do with it. But likewise, where seekers and young Christians are present for the experience of mature attitudes, they become impressed with the church. They want to be a part of such a unified, loving church family. And that unity comes by us choosing to look beyond I am, myself, my ways, and my preferences, and consider I will be considerate. I will think of my brothers and sisters around me. I will be open to your spirit and to the unity of your church. So I said that in Philippians. Look how far Jesus went, taking the form of a slave, it says in verse 6. Emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Do you hear his choices? His attitude, our Almighty God. Do you hear the choosing to trade from the I am to I will in this passage? It's really, really something. And that translates to us. Choosing from I am closed-minded to I will be of the same mind. Choosing from I am loving my way to I will love the same way. Choosing from I am divisive to I will be in full accord and of one mind. Choosing from I am selfish and superior to I will do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Choosing from I am prideful to I will be humble. Choosing from I am all about me to I will regard others as better than myself. Choosing from I am looking out for myself to I will look out to the interests of others. Choosing from I am closing my mind to I will let the same mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus. Choosing from I am mine to control to I will follow my Lord Jesus' example and humble myself by laying aside myself for Christ and his church. It's a lot of choosing. It's not easy. It doesn't come overnight, but it is a road we all as Christ ones should be on. We're supposed to have the same attitude and mind of the Christ who went before us. We need to choose to decide to move our attitudes from I am to I will as a unifying church member. Secondly, I decide to move my attitude from I am to I will be a sacrificial church member. You realize you're never closer to showing Christ than when you are being sacrificial. Jesus, he went to a cross for us. We learn the greatest joy when we put others before ourselves. Because Jesus chose to sacrifice himself for us, his church, we also can choose to sacrifice my I am for Jesus and for my forever family, his church. I decide to move my attitude from I will, I am to I will as a sacrificial church member. Thirdly, I choose to decide to move my attitude from I am to I will as a prayerful church member. In Acts 2:42, the early church, first thing they did, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Let me ask you something. When was the last time that you prayed for your staff? Some of you do regularly, and we thank you. When was the last time you prayed for people in need in the church? I know a lot of you do that because you ask for the prayer sheets, and whether it's in choir and the prayer time, you look at the board, and I really appreciate them. When was the last time you prayed for that person in church that bugs you? That you didn't see eye to eye with? Or they didn't do things the same way you do? I decide to move my attitude from I am going to stay here to I will be a prayerful church member. And fourth, I decide to move my attitude from I am to I will as a joyful church member. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Somebody came up with some letters to classify people in the church. One is a GCM. A GCM is a grumpy church member. GCM. Grumpy and divisive. Then there's the JCM, the joyful church member. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on either one of them. But have you stopped recently to think just what is going on right here at Pathways Baptist Church? Have you stopped to think just what God is doing here right now? Have you stopped to think what an honor, what a privilege it is for God to have you and me here for this moment in this church right now? Have you stopped to think, and have you gotten excited, and are you bursting out in joy? Say amen. I mean, think about the great blessing and opportunity that God has us in right near. Right now and here. Amen. Come on, be excited. You don't know how many pastors that Pastor Eddie and I and different pastoral staff talk to during the week and go, oh, I wish I was at your church. Because they're having so many struggles. And we have our little things here and there, adjustments here and there. But what a wonderful, exciting time in the life of this church. Amen. We should be joyful about that. I choose to decide to go from I am just going to sit there and nitpick about this and to I will be open to what you're doing here, Lord. You, Lord, are a glorious Lord. This is your church. I am thankful I'm along for the ride. I'm thankful I'm in the room. I'm thankful I'm here to see it. Amen? I'm joyful about that. Take to move that attitude from I am going to stay this way to Lord, I will be joyful. I'll be happy. I'll be encouraging. I'll be supportive. I, Lord, will love you and love this family like no other time. I will, Lord, love you. I choose to decide to move my attitude from I am to I will as a joyful church member. A fellow bought a pet parrot. He took it home and this parrot had a bad attitude. This parrot complained all the time, not enough water, not enough feed. I don't like this mirror, it makes me look fat. And they started saying curse words and stuff, and the owner started saying, you know, calm down, settle down, don't say that, don't complain all the time, you know. Just a real complaining, just a bad attitude type thing. Finally, the owner had just had it. He said, I need some quiet. He took that parrot, he opened the freezer, put the parrot in, and shut the door. He heard some fluttering, some screeching in there, and he went, okay, I just need a couple minutes of peace. And suddenly there was nothing. So he thought, oh no, oh no. So he ran over and he opened the freezer, and the parrot stand there like this. And the man reaches out his hand, the parrot steps out, and he says, sir, I just need to deeply apologize for all the wrong things I've said and I've done. I hope you'll forgive me. I will be a perfectly nice parrot from now on. I promise you, I really promise I will be a really agreeable parrot from now on. The man said, well, that's very nice. Thank you. And the parrot said, I have one question. He said, what's that? And the parrot pointed at a frozen chicken in there and said, what did he do wrong? It's up to you. It's up to me. We can choose, decide to go from I am going to stay like this, or Lord, I will open myself to you, your word, your will, your church. I will do this when I wake up. I'll do this with my spouse. I'll do this with my children. I'll do this at my job. I'll do this at my church. Lord, I want to be open to what great things you have for us. Today we're going to share in the Lord's Supper. And I want you to remember, as you partake of that, how on that cruel cross Jesus chose to humble himself before us and for us, to love us when we were most unlovable. And I want you to pray, Lord Jesus, thank you for moving so that we were not judged by you, because you have every right to judge us, but you chose to instead come as our slave, our Savior, for all of humanity, and for humanity who so does not deserve that kind of love. And that includes me. That includes me. That includes me. And I want to thank you. You humbled yourself for me. And Lord, please help me to humble myself. Get rid of the I am in me. And help me to open my heart to I will, Lord, as you lead. Let us pray. Father, as we come to this table where we see Jesus said, I will, for all of us. He brought us so many blessings. Oh, goodness. Like Paul said, beyond words. And Lord, we thank you for that wonderful love you have for us. May we have that for you. May we, Lord, quit being stubborn. May we move from I am and be stuck in that. You came to release us, to make us free from all that, to make our lives better, to see that we can have a better life and a better church, and that we can glorify you who gave so much for us. So, Father, we just pray. As we come to this table where you said, I will for us, that we will take to heart how far you went with that, and that we will be humbled, and we, Lord, will begin to say, I will. More and more for you. We pray this, and we thank you for giving us the example in the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen.